Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell, thank you for staying on your mic today.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
trying.
That.
You're like, doing deep doing throat in a microphone.
Stop.
It's like right there. It's like an inch from my lips.
What is the
Get
matter
your mind
with you?
Out of the gutter.
You're the one that's like deep throat in the microphone. It's not me. What's the matter with you?
I got to play with the
underside. Do not tickle the underside of the microphone.
All right.
We're going to get into business today.
Yeah. So if you listen to our last show, was episode 200. And we decided to redo the first 9 episodes of The Void for episodes 201 through 209. And we don't really know how this is going to go. The show is still live and in very little planning and in a straight-up conversation. However, we started this podcast 3 years ago. We're 200 episodes in. And we wanted to kind of go through those first 9 episodes again because they are the core episodes that cover the core adversities somebody needs to overcome if they expect success in business. And we wanted to kind of give you guys like a 3-year revision of that. David and I have grown and developed over 3 years. Since we started this podcast, we've also started Tradewinds, the mentorship program. And so we have other things that we've learned as we've helped other people start their businesses or bring their businesses into existence. And so we, like, again, these shows are still very little planning. However, you're going to get like a 3-year update on how we think about all the topics in the core episodes, because those topics are still very valuable. It's just our insight on those topics or our approach to handling those topics may change. Plus, a lot of that stuff, not a lot, some of that stuff has just changed over the last 3 years, like how Google behaves and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has changed. One of the things that, like, you made me do homework and I had to go back and listen to, like, we had an intro show and then episode number one.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be. But it was painful.
Yeah.
Like, just listening to yourself and, you know, going through what you talked about and what you went over, you know, and there's always that self-judgment of where am I today? How have I gotten better? Have I gotten better? All of those things, you know, and we'll talk about that as it relates to episode, I guess it'll be 209 now. But one of the things that I really took away from re-listening to that is how much episode one is even, and I don't think I really understood at the time how important episode one was.
Yeah.
The fact that your dream and your vision of where you want to be in life, I don't think I understood how important it really was, even just 3 years ago.
Right.
Like, I feel like I had a pretty good grasp on where I was, how I got there, the success level I was quote unquote at or not at versus today, only 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do with Tradewinds a lot, because I see those guys growing and I see the ones that have a really clear vision and goal for themselves. Those guys are just, sometimes they're light years ahead of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's their passion, their vision, their dream that's fueling them to get to where they're at or where they're going.
Yeah.
Even more than I realized at the time.
Yeah.
It's amazingly powerful when you have a vision that's that clear, that's driving you.
It's a military operation, if you think about it. To stay timely, right? When U.S. bombed Iran, they didn't just put a call out to the military and said, "Go over there and do something," right?
They go had over a there and glass some sand, bitch.
Yeah,
no.
They had a very exacting purpose that they wanted to achieve, and they built an operation about how to achieve it. And they used, so the vision that they wanted to achieve was eliminate Iran's nuclear capabilities, right? And with no loss of American life and as little loss to their life as possible. And yeah. I mean, they had warning that we were coming. The early indicators are that like they were evacuated beforehand. And so like
may or may not have move some uranium,
may or may not.
Maybe.
Like we never know.
We're never going to know.
Like, but what it is, you know, that's proof. These guys go out there and fly. What was that, like a 36, 38 hour mission or whatever? And everything was textbook. No loss of life. No loss of aircraft. No loss of anything. Countless refuelings in the air while that was going on.
I think two. We should ask Christian. He'll know.
But for the whole fleet.
Oh, I was,
you know what I mean?
I was thinking B-2s. You're right.
Yeah, like two or three, like they were refueled immediately once they got in the air because they took off so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, the whole fleet of planes and everything else, like that's a very exacting mission. And that all started from a vision of somebody or several people that got together and they put together a really exact vision and then they built a mission around how to achieve the vision. And then they used the vision to guide every decision of that mission along the way.
Yeah.
And so a vision is very important. In the original episode, episode one, we reference a baseball stadium or a ballpark or an amusement park or a event space of large capacity.
Yeah.
And we tell everybody to...
It's a visionary walkthrough.
Yeah. We tell everybody to picture your local ballpark or your favorite ballpark. And like close your eyes and picture walking through the gates and buying your tickets and scanning your tickets. And then, you know, where are the concessions and where are the restrooms and where's the field and where do the players run out and where's the sun, you know, all of those things. And what you end up with is you end up with this like large scale overview of like, wow, there is a whole lot of planning by a whole lot of people that went into building this ballpark. However, they didn't just grab a whole bunch of high school dropout construction workers and said, I don't know, go out there and build something. And hopefully we can play football on it when we're done. Like, no, they were very exact with what goes where, distances, measurements, proximities, layouts, the angle of the sun, like everything, right?
Yeah, very specific.
And, I mentioned the angle of the sun simply because in almost all stadiums out there, the visitors sit in the sun.
Yeah,
it's the way it is with Arrowhead. The visitors sit in the sun. The visiting team sits in the sun as much as possible, and the home team gets the shade.
Baseball stadiums, they almost always face northeast.
Right.
Almost always.
Right.
Because the majority of the fans will be in the shade.
Yep.
You know, the only guys that really have to deal with low sun angle are the outfielders, center and left field.
Yep.
Like, it's very intentional.
Yeah.
And just like your dream and your vision for your business, it has to be very intentional.
Yeah.
I want to get here.
Yeah.
This is my first goal, my first checkpoint.
Yeah.
I am going to run to that. Now, how do I make that happen?
Right. And the reason your vision is so important is because you will most likely achieve your vision. And so if your vision is to break away from your boss because he's a jerk, and you can make just as good a money working by yourself, then you will probably do that and only that. You will probably break away from your boss because you think he's a jerk, and you will probably replace your income working for yourself.
Very quickly, probably.
But that is not success. That's the opposite of success.
It's the tip.
And the reason why, yeah, it's just the tip.
It's just the tip.
And most people only do it just for a little bit.
Yeah.
And once they see how it feels, they don't like it. And the reason why I say that's the opposite of success is because if you were making 80 or 100 grand a year working for somebody else and you start your own business and you go through all the trials and tribulations and stress and you take and on all the financial risk and you put in all the extra hours and all you do is make what you did when you were making for somebody else, like when you were working for somebody else and earning the same amount, you put in a whole lot of work for nothing, right?
I wouldn't call it a failure, but it's a wash.
It's a wash.
Yeah, it's a wash, and that's not where we want to be.
Yeah, congratulations. You now have more responsibility, more risk, more headache, less free time for the same amount of money. Like, you just got demoted, really.
I mean, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Now, you do have the freedom of not having a boss.
Okay, quote-unquote freedom.
But, yeah, it's not real freedom because you can't pick and choose what you do every day. And so when we have a whole entire episode of this show on the vision, it's because it's that important. And literally, like, our first episode was the vision. And it's because it is the most important thing you're going to have to do when you're creating a company. And if you're listening to this and you already have a company, it's been in business 3, 5, 15, 30 years, doesn't matter. It's perfectly okay to go back to the drawing board on your vision, come up with a new vision, and then start pointing your old existing company in the new direction.
Reevaluating your vision is a constant.
Yes.
I kind of, you know, antiquate it to goals.
Yeah.
You know, my vision is my goal, right? Once I reach that, now what do I do? Well, that vision just gets bigger.
Right.
Right? I mean, and I don't want to, like, go off your point of, you know, if my vision isn't big enough, then that's all I'm ever going to be. But to have the mindset of, okay, now I've gotten there. Where do I go from here?
Right.
Like, that's what's important.
Yeah.
Right? And then expand that vision. You know, you've made it. What have I done? How did I get here? What's the next level?
Right.
You know, we didn't talk about that a whole lot in that first episode of, once I get here, now what?
Right.
When it comes to, you know, your vision and your dream, reevaluate.
Yeah.
You know, and expand on it.
And the main,
where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, the main reason we don't talk about that, we totally could. However, like, the core audience for this show is aspiring business owners and new business owners. And new business owners can be a ton of different terms. It could be somebody who's been in the trade for 20 years and they just start their own business. It could be somebody who's been in the trade for a period of time and they're going to take over their parents' business. You're a new business owner if you do that. It could be somebody who's just buying a business and getting into the trade. And so all of that still matters on, what do you want to come from this business that you're going to create or acquire, whether by purchase or by, you know, hand-me-down or whatever? What do you, like, in other words, if your dad retires and hands you over the business, like, what are you going to do with this business? And again, in the original episodes, we talk about, you know, where are you parking? Where are you using the restroom? Where are you getting concessions? All of that stuff. It applies just as much here. Where do your employees clock in? What do their uniforms look like? What do your trucks look like?
Yeah.
Where's your material at? Do you have a shop? Do you not have a shop? Do you have a big shop? Do you have a prominent location in town, or are you in an obscure, hidden little pocket? You know, either all the visibility or none of it. One could argue they're both good, right? Our shop is in a prominent area of town, but still no visibility.
Yeah.
You know, I personally don't think you need a lot of visibility until you're a lot bigger.
Yeah, once you get bigger, you have to have it.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, for your small shop stuff, you know, all of those things need to be considered. And it's like, you don't have to, when we say your vision is not the playbook. Your vision is, what do you want? What do you desire, right? And then the playbook is how you get there. And then you're going to realize real quick. It's just like athletics. A lot of teams go into a big game with a plan. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the first quarter or the end of the first period, they're having to change the plan. The vision's to win.
Yeah, you got freight trade. What do we do?
But yeah, like, oh man, our defense is getting rolled. Like, we got to pivot, right? Yeah. Our vision is, like, we thought we were going to win on defense. And no, we're going to have to win on offense because our game plan wasn't strong enough on defense. And so, like, the vision is still there, but the benchmarks move a little bit. And there's a saying that goes around that says, adjust the timeline, never adjust the goal. And that's very, very true in business. In other words, if your vision is you want to be a $1 million company in your first year, cool. Be focusing everything on doing that. If you miss the mark on $1 million and you do $850 your first year instead of $1 million, cool. You'll do $1 million the next year.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
So you're adjusting the timeline, but you're still not adjusting. It's not like you give up on the goal and you sell the company because you didn't do $1 million in your first year.
Yeah.
Like you're adjusting the timeline, but never adjusting the goal. And so, you know, the vision is what pulls you in that direction. And without the vision, you're hosed. And I'm hanging up on that for a second because there are a lot of people out there that started a company simply because they got mad at their boss one day and they didn't really have a plan.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. And
there's a lot of guys in Trade Winds that did the same thing. They're like, fuck it. I'm running with it.
And those guys, without developing a vision at some point, those guys will rarely result in success.
Well, let's talk about developing your vision for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like if you say you're working for somebody, right? And you're not 100%, you know that you're going to leave. You hate your job. Don't just bail. Develop your vision, your dream. What is it going to look like?
Yep.
And while you're at that job, we talked about this in the first episode, suck up every bit of information you can.
Yep.
Suck it up for a few months and gain every piece of information that you can off of that business as far as how do we run calls? How do we take calls? You know, how do we price? Mm-hmm. All of those things will help you moving forward. Now, that doesn't really have to do with like the vision of your business, but while you're doing that, envision what your business is going to look like.
Yeah.
Do I want to be a one-man show? Do I want to have 3 trucks in 1 year? Do I want to have 5 trucks in 5 years? Like, what do you envision it being? Mm-hmm. Is it as big as the company you work for now? No, right. I hate that it's a big giant conglomeration of bullshit, and I don't want all of those headaches. I want 3 guys. Okay.
Cool.
Your vision is 3 guys. How do we get to 3 guys? What does that look like?
Right.
In the short term, I'm getting a truck. You know, like the very basics of the basic path inside of that vision or your end goal is what you need to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple.
Yeah.
It literally is that simple. If, to your point earlier, if you know you're going to be getting a company handed down to you from your dad, you know, what does that look like? Is it to leave a legacy for him?
Right.
That his name is still up there and proud? Do you want to be part of that?
Yeah.
Do you want to be able to take the reins, change the name, and move on? All of those things, all of that development inside of your vision is what really drives your effort to get to that goal or that place. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm...
Are you on Facebook?
I'm
just kidding. I know you're just looking something up. I sparked something in Mitch's brain.
Yep.
Sometimes I do that.
So you referenced the hand-me-down business, right?
Yeah.
And the hand-me-down business is a whole problem in itself. And when I say hand me down, I don't mean hand out.
No,
but
it is a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah.
Versus starting something from the ground up on your own.
So according to Google,
of course you're Googling.
I Googled generational business failure rates. Family businesses
high.
Face significant decline in survival rates with each subsequent generation. While 30% of family businesses make it to the second generation, only 12 to 15% make it to the third, and only a mere 3 to 5 continue to the fourth and beyond.
Yeah.
approximately 70% of family businesses fail or are sold before the second generation can take over. And so the reason for that, it even tells you, poor succession planning, lack of skills and drive, family dynamics, change in business landscape, and all that stuff. And ultimately, it's vision. The vision of the original creator of that business is going to be different from the vision of the person that's being, that's taking the business over. And if your vision was never, if you never had to create a business in your vision, it's going to be very difficult for you to know the levers that move the needle and where the minutia is that doesn't actually do anything inside of a business.
Well, it wasn't ever your vision to start with.
Right.
You know what I mean? So unless you are either on the exact same page or have a complete 180-degree vision that you want to run with,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard for you to make it successful after the fact.
Yes.
Some of it's drive. Some of it's you don't feel like you're going to be good enough. Some of it is I don't want to say this because I don't think this is a lot of guys, but it does happen. You're spoiled as shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't have to go through the hard times to get that fucking thing off the ground.
Right.
I think a lot of why businesses fail is because of that.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it kind of is what it is. It's the same thing that we talked about in the first episode as far as immigrants go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, immigration is a huge topic in this country right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that come across the border illegally, not illegally. This isn't going to be political, but they literally turn dirt into success.
Millions.
Because of their vision, their desire, and their work ethic, because they are fueled by the bullshit that they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people in this country that are handed shit that do nothing with it.
Yeah.
You know, which makes, you know, the immigrant story so powerful. We've had, I'm not going to say who they are, but we've had a handful of immigrants in our Tradewinds group
mm-hmm.
that literally are kicking ass and taking fucking names.
Yeah, they have a different level of passion.
I couldn't be more proud of them,
mm-hmm.
but you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it. When you talk to them, you can feel their passion, their desire. Like, you just know.
Yeah.
They will not fail.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. We have guys in Tradewinds that I think about constantly, and I'm like, dude, if this guy doesn't get a fire under his ass, this thing's going under.
Right.
And this guy over here, like, just literally will not let that shit fail.
Right, right.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
It really is. The more I think about it, the more I see it, the more I'm involved with people's businesses. It really is a drastic difference just from business to business.
Yeah.
Let alone the immigration factor.
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, on the hand-me-down business, that's a very tough battle to win. And the only way you will win it is through resilience and excellent leadership. Leadership is being able to get guys to buy into your vision. That is leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
The general in an army, he has a vision for how to beat the opponent. The bullet gloves in the army, the infantrymen, the frontline guys, they have a vision of living till tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you got guys with completely different visions, but yet they have to lead all of the different ranks of people to the same end goal. And that would be like getting a hand-me-down business would be like changing generals mid-war. And now you have to pick up where this guy left off.
Yeah.
And you have to try to identify what were they doing right and what were they doing wrong and where can we improve and all of those things. And so I've been a part of a hand-me-down business situation. I was at a business where the original owner sold to the children, and it was rough to be a part of, and it was rough to watch. And there were two original owners. They each had two sons. They sold the business to their four sons. Well, now two of those sons are out. Two from the same family are out, and so it's only two from the same family that are left. And
okay, that's crazy.
Well, that cleaned up a lot, right?
Because
you're
going
to have you went from two visions to four. You know, trying to align two visions to now trying to align four, in a lateral effect, like.
Well, yeah, and like, let's be honest, brothers are going to have each other's backs,
right?
And so two brothers were fighting two other brothers,
right?
Like, dah.
Yeah, and so they still have the company to this day. It's successful. It's growing. And I literally had a conversation with one of the owners last week. I'm still friends with those guys.
Really?
Yeah. And
do they want to sign up for Tradewinds?
Ironically, we'll talk about this in probably episode 210.
Hey, look, you know what? I props to us for actually having foresight for our episodes now.
So
you know? Growth on our
as we
our
replicate
part.
These original first nine episodes. There's another episode that we're going to replicate, and that is how to get Google reviews. The original episode for how to get Google reviews was episode 36. We'll probably do that one in episode 210 and replicate that one. But ironically, that's why that business owner was calling me, is because he received several one-star reviews from several different Google accounts over the same customer, and he's being met with threats of lawsuits and all of this stuff. From just an unpleasable customer.
Yeah.
But he went and checked all their Google reviews, and we're the only company they've ever given a 5-star review to.
Did you?
And so he called me and he was like, "What do you guys do? Like, how do I win? Like, and
how
he
do
wasn't,
I win?
Yeah. He, like, I got to hand it to him. He wasn't saying, like, how do I beat this person, you know, to a pulp digitally.
No, it was how do I make them happy?
Yeah. It's like, what did you do to make them happy? Where did I drop the ball? Like, what is it going to take for me to make them happy like you guys did, right?
Did you send them a Tradewinds invoice?
Yeah.
I didn't get a phone call.
No, unfortunately, I wasn't able to help them much because we've only ever been to their house once.
Yeah.
And we did a fairly minor repair, and it was we're just really good at getting Google reviews. Also, I'm sure their repair was several thousands, and ours was only like $375 or $400 or something.
You know what? Let's not derail the show.
Yeah, but
I would like to. You know, if we redo that, I would like to hash that out.
Yeah, yeah, we totally can there. So that'll probably, don't quote me on this, but that'll probably be episode 210.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Or coming up here
pretty
soon.
We'll see if Mitch remembers.
Yeah. That's part of your vision is like, how do I want to be perceived on the internet?
Yeah.
There are businesses out there that do millions of dollars a year and they have 10 Google reviews. You do not need Google reviews to grow your business.
You don't have to. No.
It for sure helps, right? And so that's part of your vision is like,
yeah, it does
how help. Many Google reviews do I want by a certain timeline? And what do I want my rating to be? In other words, do I want to be
8 people.
Right? Do I want to be that company that's like, I'm okay providing less than impeccable service, or do I want to be that company that is like, no, we are perfection, right?
Yeah.
And those are all part of your vision and your desires and everything else. There's a lot of people out there that are perfectionists, and I feel for you because that's a struggle.
Dude, I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah. It is
a constant battle within yourself to let things go.
Yeah.
Like it's difficult.
Yeah.
Now, does it help you? Of course it does. It makes you a badass like myself.
Yeah. It helps you, but I don't know if it helps the business or your team.
No. Like full transparency, in the first episode we really broke down like who you and I were, right?
Mm-hmm.
One man show. You know why? Because I don't trust any fucking dipshits to be running around with my business name, you know, doing repairs, not at a perfect clip.
Yeah.
And full transparency, I've said it a lot on past episodes, I wish I wouldn't have been that way.
Yeah.
It would have been easier on my body. I probably could have made even more money if I wouldn't have been that way.
Right, right.
But
I subscribe to the idea.
Hindsight's 20/20, and you can't go back. Like, you know.
Well, but you still were successful.
Of course.
It was just
of course.
It was a different path.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a different path, and it is a I guess I should have said my point to that statement was it's a harder path. It is a harder path.
Especially if you aren't good with your money, which you were.
Yeah. If you're not good with your money, you're doubly fucked.
Yeah.
Like if you're not preparing, it's brutal, man.
Yep. Yeah, I subscribe to the idea. Dan Martell talks about this. He says 80% done by somebody else is better than perfect any day of the week.
Yeah.
And the idea there is...
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Now. If I only have to do 20% of the work and 80% of it gets done by somebody else, I can do 5 times the amount of work.
Exactly.
And so, that is how you grow a business, is you create a vision. And part of that vision is how am I going to get other people to feel the same way about this vision as I do?
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, it comes from talking about it every meeting that you have with your people. You got to share the vision constantly because they will lose sight of the vision very fast. And the reason
it's because it's not their vision.
Right. It's not their vision.
Not to interrupt you, but yeah.
No, that's 100% correct. It's not their vision. And just like the reference where we were talking about earlier with the general versus the infantryman.
Yeah.
Your vision is winning the war. The war is a long run in business. Their vision is payday Friday.
Yeah.
And
or monthly bonus.
Right.
Like the longest they look at it usually is vacation and monthly bonus. Let's be honest.
Yep. And so, a lot of those things impact how often you have to talk about it. They need reminded a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it's not because they're bad people or anything else. They're just at a different place in life. They have different concerns than you do. They're, you might be concerned about your wife and kids and your family and everything else and your business. They're concerned about their wife and their kids and their family and their job. And their job is one person's job, whereas your business is all the people's jobs. And so it's just a different perspective because you're in a different spot in business.
And we talked about it all the time. It's like if they had that same mindset, and I want to get into the mindset talk mm-hmm. here just a little bit, but like if they had that same mindset and that same drive, they wouldn't work for you.
Right.
You want those people. We cannot all be garbage men. We cannot all be doctors. We cannot all be plumbing business owners.
Right. They're,
we all have our, niche at any given time in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Like it changes. You're not going to be a plumbing business owner forever.
Yeah.
You weren't a plumbing tech forever. You were not a plumbing manager forever. You're not going to be a consultant forever. Like those things constantly change. The mm-hmm. entire world is, ever revolving, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Like things are going to be different.
Yeah.
But what you want is people in that position, to help you when their desire is to be that person.
Yeah.
If for your, I don't know if I should say this or not, Spencer, you're a guy that's been with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like someday he's probably going to be in a management role,
mm-hmm.
whether it's for you or somebody else. Maybe he's going to be a business owner someday.
Right.
You don't care. You want success for him.
Right.
But as of right now, he's filling his role. He's successful. You're happy with it. He's happy with your role. Like that's just how it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Where we go from here, that's another point.
Right.
Or another topic, I guess I should say.
Yeah. So your vision has to include like what size of team do I want? How do I want the team culture to be? Do I want to lead with authority or do I want to lead by example? Right. Do I want to rule with an iron fist or do I want to rule with, empathy and candor?
You have no empathy.
I have little. Yeah.
I know you do. It's okay. Hey. That's why we're great friends.
Yeah.
I have empathy. You do not.
Yeah. But like all of, and there's no, we're not telling you there's a right or wrong way to do this. We're telling you that if you don't examine these things establish your MO, your modus operandi. I think this is what they say, your mode of operation.
Just blew my mind, man.
I think it's what modus operandi. I think is what Greek word. But
what you're really saying is, if your vision isn't clear and you don't stick to it and you run to that vision, you're gonna have a problem.
Right.
It doesn't matter what that vision is.
Right.
But you need to accept that this is my vision and this is my goal, and I'm gonna like run after it with everything I have.
Yeah.
Regardless of what anyone else thinks.
And I wanna point out too that. Your vision should come naturally. You don't want to force the vision. And so don't think that you can't start your company until your vision is perfect, because your vision will change. Your vision will change very quickly. You might say, I want a company of 3 trucks, and you might end up with 2 trucks or 7 trucks, because you found, like, you might end up with 2 trucks because that's all the market would bear, or you might end up with 7 trucks because it was just easier to grow to that level.
Yeah, it's because the market just came to you, and you're like, I got no choice. I got
to
grow.
Yeah, you just didn't know enough at the time to really establish that. But you knew you wanted multiple trucks. So don't suffer yourself from paralysis by analysis, where you're paralyzing yourself because you're analyzing everything way too much.
Yeah.
Leave yourself room to grow. The vision is the guidepost for where you're aiming. And
it's the flagstick.
Yeah. And so, you know, never move the goal, adjust the timeline instead. And so if you're giving yourself a goal of 3 trucks by a year, and at a year you have 2 trucks, cool. You still have twice as many trucks as most people do in a year.
Yeah.
And you might have 4 trucks in a year. You just never know. But what was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
I want to talk about, we talked about mindset a lot, and a millionaire mindset inside of that first episode. Like, you have to, how do I want to go about saying this? You have to evaluate the way you think. You are no longer an employee if you're going to be a business owner.
Right.
And that takes a whole nother mindset. You have to understand that there's going to be nights and there's going to be weekends, and I am going to have to do whatever it takes to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's quote unquote what we talked about in the first episode, the millionaire mindset approach. You just, there can't be any excuses on the way to your goal.
Yep.
There can't be. And that sometimes takes a mindset shift.
Yep.
Like, you can't just be like, well, I'm going to put in a 9-to-5 and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do my customers the best I can. And, you know, that's going to be my limit. No, dude, you're going to work 9-to-5. You're going to home work 3 hours doing your books. Okay. That's what it's going to take.
Yep.
You're going to not take your wife out to dinner for 3 or 4 nights. You're going to miss a kid's soccer game or a baseball game or a football game because you're working. You are going to have to dedicate yourself fully to that business. And that's another mindset that a lot of people, like, let's be honest, a lot of people don't have that, and that is why they still work for someone else.
Yeah.
That is what separates the men from the boys.
Yeah. Yeah, and part of your vision, part of my vision was I wanted to work as hard as I could, as fast as I could, so that I could enjoy life as much as I could for as long as I could. In
That's
other
a good
words,
way to say it.
Yeah. In other words, I know that I'm going to have to put in the hours, a lot of hours up front, and I'm going to have to miss out on a lot. I'm going to have to work hard up front. But as long as I do it with the right vision, and as long as I do it with the right goals in mind, and as long as I do it with always looking forward, right? I'm not making the same mistakes over and over again. And I'm working hard, but getting better at it and more efficient at it and things like that, then eventually I'm going to be on the other side of that, where I'm going to get to enjoy life as much as I can for as long as I can. And everyone's vision might be different. I just posted on Facebook just the other day about everyone has a different retirement goal. What's your number? And I was very intentional to word it that way.
I saw that. I didn't post because I wanted to see what everyone had to say. It was a good question.
Yeah. And I wanted it to leave it up to interpretation for people to even understand what a number is. Because some people took it as a retirement age.
And some took it,
as an amount of money in the bank.
Yeah.
And some went so far as to say this much money in the bank, this much in these portfolios, this much in these portfolios.
It's because they reinvest, have a clear vision
of
what they want their retirement to look like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, this much in these portfolios, live off these dividends, reinvest these, you know, all of those things.
And maybe I should go back and look at it a little closer.
It was Jacob England's comment that had that, by the way.
Yeah.
So he's a local business owner here in town. He owns Iron Horse in Green Valley. Iron Kettle.
Iron Kettle.
He just bought it. He didn't create it.
Okay.
He just bought
Patel it. Patel put that thing up, and he's a piece of shit. He kind of ran an investment group.
Yeah. Jason Finstermeyer.
Yeah.
Was the original owner and then sold it to...
I don't want to get off topic because we've been doing really good.
Uh-huh.
You ever been in there?
Once.
Was it any good?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
It's okay.
They had really good food.
I've never been in there. Everyone I've talked to, I'd say it's a 50-50 split. It's like, it was great. It sucked.
I think they had
there's no middle ground.
I think they had a bad server because the people that say it sucks, they talk about the service. They don't talk about the food.
Maybe that's right.
I think they had like a bad staff, like a bad staff team.
Grand Valley's weird too because it's such a, like you have to be there at the time to eat lunch because you're not driving over to Grand Valley.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird little town.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But, you know, I asked that question on Facebook, and it's wild. And I was open with it. Like, we all have a different number. And just to show that we're all running a different race, like, what's your number? And there's guys in there saying, like, I don't need much. As long as my investments can produce $100,000 a year,
yeah,
I'm fine.
Dude.
And that's success for that guy.
Dude, $100,000 isn't it? That's most people, you know that. People answering that question are successful because $100,000 is a fuck ton of money in retirement. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Social Security on top of that or whatever else, like people are scraping by right now at 40.
Yeah.
At 30. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're in the right group when that's the low guy.
Well, that guy followed it up and said, right now I'm living off $65,000 a year.
Yeah.
I've got like, and he didn't say it like.
Sacking it away, baby.
Yeah. He didn't say it like that was his income right now. He said it like his yearly expenses are $65,000 a year. Like,
so anything over that, he's sacking away.
Right.
Saving. Whatever.
In other words, his current lifestyle that he's happy with, he's spending $65,000 a year. So he will be very happy to retire off of $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Because that's like a pay bump for him.
Yeah.
Not a pay bump. It's more of a spending bump.
You know what I noticed? I did read a few. And now that you've said that many people commented, I'll probably go back and look. But, you know, you don't hear a lot of people post in there, well, that's with everything paid off.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, well, so if everything's paid off, is that number lower? Is that number higher? Is that, you know, no, I need that $500,000. I saw Tama put on there, I want $500,000 a year in passive income. Dude, that's a fuck ton of money at 60 years old. What are you doing? Oh, well, I want to have a mortgage for, I'm not saying he would say this, but this is what I would say. I want to have a mortgage on a house on the beach so that I can get the tax deduction.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need that money to pay for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to your point, we're all running that different race. And it is interesting to see, you know, where everyone's at. But I think where you're going with this is everyone's vision is different for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Everyone's is different. Stop comparing your vision to anyone else's.
Right.
You want your business to be this? Run with it.
Right.
Go with it. Don't change your goal just because Joe, Bob, Jilly, Woe, who, whatever, is at 10 trucks.
Yeah.
If your goal is 5 and you're happy at 5, be happy at 5.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to be said for successful and happy versus successful and miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like my vision for my company was I wanted to do over $1 million, like as fast as possible. I wanted to get to over $1 million. I didn't really have a timeline for mine. It was just
ASAP, bitch.
Yeah. I just wanted to get to $1 million in revenue. And then I wanted to get to 20% EBITDA. And, you know, we've achieved that. And there are a lot of companies out there that might do $3 million in revenue. But if you're doing $3 million in revenue at 6% EBITDA,
you're not making as much money at the end.
You're making less money than I am, and you're working 3 times as hard. Right?
Yeah.
And so
perspective's a real bitch.
Right. Right.
She will fuck you up, man.
And so it's not necessarily like revenue is for show. But profit is for sanity.
Drive for show, putt for dough. Right. Same thing.
Right.
It's the exact same thing, man.
And so it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you keep. And so now that's not to say don't focus on a top line number. Do focus on the top line number.
Yeah. Have a goal.
Like
Set a goal.
I mean, I'm sharing part of my vision when I created the company. The first step in the vision was get to $1 million a year. The second step in the vision was then get to 20% EBITDA. And $1 million a year, like you can get to $1 million a year a lot easier than you think. However, your EBITDA is going to be way short.
So now
you know the mechanics to produce $1 million a year in revenue. Now you got to add the mechanics to that. It's like we have the mechanics to get offensive touchdowns. Now we got to add the mechanics to get defensive stops.
Yeah.
Right. And so we were getting the offensive touchdowns. We were getting $1 million a year in revenue. And so I've spent the last few years focusing on the 20% EBITDA, and now here we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are all things of like my vision that I had, and I'm not saying mine's right or wrong, but if you don't have a good vision, you're not going to go very far. What you were talking about with the millionaire mindset is you need to be acting and behaving like the person that you will be at the end of your vision. And you need to be behaving like that from day one.
Yeah.
So if the person at the end of your vision doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't cuss, works out 5 times a week, eats a healthy diet, and all of that, you're never going to see the end of your vision until you do that, right? If the person at the end of your vision is the first one in the shop and the last one to leave every day, and you're not doing it now, you're never going to see the end of your vision. And so as you start examining the type of mindset it's going to take to achieve your vision, you always need to be behaving like you've already achieved the vision, because that'll make the achievement come much faster.
Well, let's be honest. That is what we call controllables.
Yeah.
If they're personal controllables, do them first.
Yeah.
Make yourself great first.
Right.
But take all of those easy things that you know you can control and do them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like literally, it's stupid to think of it this way, but to your point, if you were to list out, okay, in 5 years I want to be here, and mm-hmm. I'm going to list all of this stuff out, and your deal is no smoking, no drinking, working out 5 days a week, what can you cross off that list first?
Right.
Things that you can control.
Yeah, start
knock
getting
those,
to it.
Knock those out first.
Yeah, I'll drink to that. Like, not drinking isn't part of my vision, so I'll drink to that.
What does it matter with you? Like, I'm just kidding. But, the controllables, the things that you can handle, the faster that you can knock those off of your list, the sooner you will reach your end goal.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to be that person, get the fuck after it.
Right. And the other thing is, if you expect to grow a team as part of your shaping your vision, if you expect to grow a team of people, and that means both grow them intellectually after they become members of the team, but also grow the size of the team as well, you will never lead a team of people to do things that you can't or won't do yourself.
Or won't do is yeah. what I see a lot.
And I won't say can't do, because there are things that you may not be, like the whole purpose of growing a team is you hire people that are smarter than you.
Yeah.
You get people that can install faster than you can, and you get people that are better on the phones than you are, right?
Right.
However, if you're passing up phone calls and I'm not in the mood to answer the phone right now, so I'm going to let them go to voicemail. Well, right there, you just set a precedence that the rest of your team can pass up on phone calls and let them go to voicemail.
Yep.
Right. And so, discipline is doing what you don't want to do because it needs to get done no matter what. And it definitely takes a lot of discipline to grow a business. And so that needs to be part of your vision as well.
And leading by example, let's be honest, in the blue collar industry, like, guys will not go to bat for you if you will not put your neck out there first.
Right.
If you aren't plumbing, for example, if you don't want to sewer drains, snake drains, because you'll get shit on you
mm-hmm.
and it's nasty and you don't want to do it, guys aren't going to do it for you, even if they don't care.
Right.
Leading by example in the blue collar industry is the way to get shit done.
Yeah. And if your truck's in shambles, you'll never get your guys to keep a clean truck.
No.
Right.
They're going to be like, hey, motherfucker, you can't even clean your, what are you talking about?
Right.
Fuck you.
Right. And your guys will say stuff like, you hardly ever even go to jobs and you can't keep a clean truck.
Yeah. They're pessimists, man.
Right. And so, to show you just how much that is important.
Did I bring up something here?
Well, so when I got my Super Duty and I downgraded the Lightning instead of like my personal work vehicle, the Lightning is now like just a fleet vehicle, yeah, like anybody.
Yeah, the ferry vehicle. Got it.
Yeah, anybody can drive it. Ferry vehicle. I even because
come on, I've been nice this whole episode. Yeah. I gotta get one in
because it's so cheap to drive. I even let my employees drive it on the weekends. I'm like, you guys don't even have to have a reason. Like,
yeah, what do you care?
If
yeah.
you just want to drive it for the weekend, like I don't even. If you're not going anywhere, I don't even care. If you want it, just let me know and I'll make sure it's charged up and cleaned up and ready. But the guys noticed a different cleanliness standard when that truck got downgraded to a general fleet vehicle versus my personal vehicle.
From you or Mason?
From everybody.
Everyone that was driving it?
From everybody, right. Yeah. And so one of my guys even said, like, man, I remember every time I used to look into this thing, it was like spotless. And now there's like some dirt on the floor every now and then, and the dash is dusty every now and then.
Oh, shit.
And it's because... everybody drive it's it yeah. is literally a free-for-all vehicle. My son will take it to go mow yards, my guys will take it on the weekends. I mean, that thing gets miles like crazy, and it's just super cheap to drive.
I'm gonna start picking it up on Fridays, bringing it back on Mondays.
Do it.
I'm do just it. Kidding.
But you know, your behavior will set the standard. And yeah. so like if 100%. You don't keep like to show you how important this is to me, like I have processes for how we keep our bathroom clean in the shop.
Is this the toilet paper talk?
Yes. Yeah, it's a toilet paper rule thing. And it sounds silly, but it's like, if we can't keep our own bathroom and our own shop to a certain standard, and we literally, our job is to work in other people's bathrooms, like, if we can't show that we keep our own bathroom to a certain standard, then what standard are we ever going to hold ourselves to for a customer? Like,
yeah,
we got to do that, right? Now, it's one of the only... I have a lot of policies and procedures, but this is the only policy and procedure that actually tells you like how to do a task. So all of my policies and procedures, and we'll get into these later
It wouldn't episodes. Be episode 201 if you didn't talk about toilet paper.
Yeah. But a lot of my policies and procedures have to do with like, how do we deliver a great customer experience? How do we get the 5-star review? You know, how do we present our options to a customer? How do we sell? How do we interact? How do we book a service call? Things like that. I don't have a single process for how to do anything plumbing. I don't have one process for how to install a water heater or how to snake a drain or how to solder a pipe.
Better know how to do that.
Well, I have a rule. Like part of my vision was I will only hire experienced people. And so we have 5 years of experience required before you can work here. And so that means I don't have to write processes. I don't have to teach anybody how to install a water heater. But literally the only process that I have that has to do with like how to handle a task is how to change the roll of TP in the shop. Because I went in there one day and there were 2 empty rolls on the commercial TP holder and there were 2 fresh rolls like propped up on top. And I'm like, you motherfuckers are lazy. And so next thing you know,
did he know it was his wife? Oh, just kidding.
No, I got the excuse, right? You can't deposit excuses. You can either have excuses or results. You can't have both.
Excuses.
And so I got the excuse of, I don't know how to get the old cardboard tubes off of there. Cause you got to pinch them and squeeze them to unlock the, you know,
now we know, bitch.
Well, what's crazy is you hand a plumber a new ProPress tool.
Oh, he's all over
and
that
he
thing.
Already knows how to figure it out. But if it's not something they're interested in, they'll half-ass it.
That's not plumbing.
That's life.
That's just everybody.
Yeah.
That's everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not running that vacuum either. I don't give a fuck. Like, you know. Yeah.
How long did you put that system under vacuum? 2 minutes?
Oh, I meant vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
I know how to run a vacuum pump.
I was going to say.
Oh, shit. That's
bad. Have you ever seen that clip of, it's Theo Vaughn, and he's...
I can't get that guy.
It's
just not funny.
Oh, I think
I don't understand why people think he's so funny. He's not funny.
He just, his humor is a different level.
It's not funny.
It's not traditional humor.
Like the big fat guy with the short and the goatee that's friends with like, man, I'm gonna fuck this whole thing up. He's friends with that famous singer. He's a comedian.
Bert Kreischer.
I'm gonna look it up. You're gonna make me look.
He's fat, but I don't think Brit has a goatee.
Oh, what's his name? I know he's got a mustache and a little soul patch.
Interesting. No, Theo Vaughn's got a. While you're looking that up, Theo Vaughn, he's got a like a sound clip or a Stitch video thing where it's him being in an interview. Like he's in a podcast and somebody asked him a question, and he goes, "I don't know, 2 minutes."
Oh, yeah.
And so people will stitch over all, you know, how long did you last in bed last night? I don't know. Maybe 2 minutes. Or it's like when the boss asks how long you put that system under vacuum for before you put in the refrigerant. 2 minutes.
Vacuuming, like I'm on a lot of, I know we're gonna wrap the show up, but I'm on a lot of HVAC groups, you know, and they're, oh well, I couldn't get it down to 500 microns because I know there's a lot of moisture in there. The whole point is to get the moisture out.
Yeah,
but and at 500 microns, you know the moisture. It's actually 750, but it's like that shit can take 2 hours.
Oh yeah,
sometimes if it's been open for a long time, and it's like, dude, no,
humid.
You gotta let that bitch run.
Yep.
Stop. What are you doing?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't find this guy. It's going to drive me insane, too.
I can't even begin to think of who you're talking about.
Ugh.
So maybe we'll catch it on the next episode.
On the next episode.
Ultimately, this episode was kind of a rehash of Cora episode number one of the show. And so for the next 8 episodes or 9 episodes, we're just going to kind of replicate kind of a modern day talk of the original episodes of 1 through 9 and then episode 36. And so it's a great refresh for listeners, but also it's a great refresh for David and I because our perspective has changed on some of this stuff
drastically
quite a bit over the last few years. But also, you'll realize and we'll realize going through this that, like, you know, we were wrong on some things, but we were way right on a lot of things early on in this show.
That's not it.
That that is not a goatee.
I don't understand Instagram, man. Yeah, I just type in comedian, and I'm looking. And
boobies.
This is the shit. I just
bikinis.
That's why I can't be on Instagram, man. I hate social media.
Yeah, it's built to distract a middle-aged male for sure.
Dude. Yes.
Yeah.
That's 100% correct.
It will absolutely derail a middle-aged man. So
it won't derail you, but it'll suck up some of your time. I'll tell you that.
So if this show brought you value, if it made you think of something in a different way, if you have a question that you want to ask, we have a couple of emails. They're in the description of the show, but we'll tell them to you anyway.
Mitch will.
Yeah, it's Mitch@TradeWindsConsulting.com or David@TradeWindsConsulting.com. And that is like winning in the trades, not blowing winds like ocean ships.
It's WINS.
Yeah. You can also find us on social media and message us there. I get messages quite a bit on social media. I got one recently from a guy that had just found our core episodes, and he was on episode 7. And, you know, sent me kind of a praise message of like, this stuff is game. And
you read it over the last episode.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we love that kind of feedback and communication too. Another thing is like, I don't view David or I as like any kind of celebrity or anything, but when people do message us, they're really surprised to find out that it's actually us on the messages. We don't have a team of people that are answering those or anything else. It's truly us. So
yeah. Boy, hell, we'll call you.
Yeah.
If you want to leave a message and say, hey, I'd like to talk for 5 minutes. We'll call you. I got nothing going on.
So since we started this podcast, we also developed in I'm going to call myself out on this, 'cause one of the areas where I was the most wrong is when we started this podcast, we had no vision of TradeWinds at all. We just had a lot of information that we wanted to get out there, and we felt that people needed it, and we felt it was our duty to distribute the info. However, after running the podcast for about a year, we were so inundated with such unique questions and such area-specific and location-specific and business-specific challenges that we couldn't even make podcast episodes on such a unique topic, and so we decided to start TradeWinds. But in our core episodes, I believe it's episode 2, I make a statement in there that says, watch out who you follow, because chances are they just want to sell you something.
It was episode 1, the original episode.
And
I
say,
we're rehashing now.
Yeah, and I say in there that we will never try to sell you something. And we don't try to sell you something, but we have found some things that we can offer to the marketplace at a fraction of the price of anybody else that really help you start your business. So we have a plumbing price book that you can buy on our website that has 2,000 task codes, and it's fully customizable. It's $300 and you own it, which if you're in, like if you have Profit Rhino's price book, their price book is $150 a month indefinitely. So for 2 months of Profit Rhino, you own ours forever. And we give you all the tutorial videos for how to modify it and edit it, how to use it. We give you videos for how to upload it into your CRM, whether it's House Call Pro or anything else. And so we have those products, but we also created TradeWinds. And TradeWinds is a coaching and mentorship program. You'll probably, if you've probably already heard a little ad for it by now in the show, but we did make a statement in that original first episode that we will never try to sell you something. And then we came up with some things to sell. However, the goal of the podcast is still distribute as much awesome free information as possible. It's just, if you want more time and attention from us, we have those products available. So check those out if you want. Those are on tradewindsconsulting.com. Or you can type in winninginthetrades.com and that will automatically forward you to tradewindsconsulting.com. We have both those domains. So if you guys have any questions at all, shoot us an email at one of those emails and we would love to answer your questions. And we will probably hold those questions until the appropriate core episode where they apply. And so if you guys are emailing questions after hearing this one, and the answer to your question is probably going to, like, we know,
like,
what these next,
number five,
if it's in number five or whatever,
whatever.
Yeah. So we'll probably hold on answering that question until then. And we'll answer it while we're talking about that exact thing in that core episode. So, until next week, guys, we will see you later, but for this week, focus on your vision and focus on updating it. Focus on doing whatever it takes to make your vision exactly what you want it to be. And if things have changed and circumstances have changed, adjust your vision a little bit. But remember, only adjust the timeline, never adjust the goal. Don't short yourself on your vision, because if you wanted to be the biggest in the area in 10 years, and it might take you 15 years to be the biggest in the area, just keep staying with the biggest in the area, just adjust the timeline. So,
well said.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.